else, but they're going through a great deal, great difficulties, and I felt the need to be there to help them out. And so forgive me for not being here, but you had a great speaker. He is a good man. He loves the Lord, and he knows more than me. So that's a great thing, too. All right. On, is it on? Did you turn it on, Gary? I'll get it. Oh, it's you. I don't mind you guys. I don't know what those guys back there. Now is it on? Yeah. I think, Gary, you did that on purpose. I really do, but it's okay. I love you anyway. All right. Great to be back tonight. Marilyn was just exhausted, didn't sleep at all last night, and so I've made her stay home and just pray for her. She, I think, will listen in if she didn't go to sleep. She just needs some sleep. When I say she didn't sleep last night, she didn't. Not that she's worrying about anything, just she couldn't sleep. And but we're home now, and I wanted her to stay home. And so I told her on the way down, I would not go 80 mile an hour, honey. 79 and a half, but not 80 mile an hour. All right. Brother Bray, I'm sure did a good job for you. He's a good man, loves the Lord. One of the teachers at Ambassador Baptist College there, and his sweet wife. You know, that's a second marriage. Both their spouses passed away. And matter of fact, Becca's wife was a medical doctor. The Lord took him home. And then Randy's wife, a wonderful lady, good family. Matter of fact, for a year, Randy's son lived with us there when he was in Charleston, and he called Marilyn Maul, called me Paul. All right. Let's take our Bibles tonight and let us go to the book of Ephesians tonight. I want to do some messages as the Lord leads me in this great book of Ephesians. Instead of beginning with the first two verses, I want to go over to verse 3. And then we will go back to verse 1 and 2 tonight. But I want you to know the need here where we need to live. We need to live in the heavenlies. I want you to look there at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, blessed is mentioned, blessed, blessing mentioned three times. The word itself means happy. Isn't it good to be happy? Isn't it good to be happy? Not to be down in the mouth, but to be happy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where are they? In heavenly places. Now, the word heavenly places in the Greek is really in the heavenlies, in the heavenlies. Now, let me say you've heard me say this before, there are three worlds that you and I experience. There's a physical world, and it's in real trouble. And then there's the fallen world. That's the same world as the physical world. But then there is the heavenlies. That's the other world. And we do that in our spirit. In our body, we live in this physical world. In our soul, we live in a fallen world. You can't turn the news on and have it not affect you. So I suggest you don't take the news on too long. And then, but in the spirit, that is the other world, his world. This world is not my home. I'm what? I'm just passing through. And so we realize here, the first thing, now, it's very important. Now, a good description of that world we're talking about, that other world, and what it's all about. Turn with me and leave that book for just a moment and go to the book of Colossians, the third chapter. And I want to read those first five verses and then come back with them. Verse chapter 3, if then ye be risen with Christ. Now, the word if here is a word can be translated either way, if, with the idea, well, if we do this, or since. The idea could mean since. Since I believe, is what he's trying to tell us there. Since you have been risen with Christ, not if, but since you have been risen with Christ, he'll give us seek, underline that word seek, those things which are where? Above. Now, you don't do that in your body. Really, you don't do that in your soul. You do that in your spirit. You do that through prayer. You do that through meditation. You do that through hearing the preaching. You hear that through studying your Bible. You do that. That's how you get to that. You can't do that in the physical. You can't do that in the soul. Though that, because our soul thinks of the fallen world. Someone has said it well when he said, if you want to be discouraged, just look around. If you want to be depressed, look within. And if you want to be defeated, look to the past. But if you want to have victory in your life, look up. Look to that heavenly place that we're talking about, that other world. You understand what I mean by in your spirit? That's the place where you commune with God. And that makes that world so important. And I have to ask myself at times, and we get so busy in the physical world, we get so wrapped up in the fallen world, that we spend little time in the Father's world. And that is a big mistake. We need to spend more time in His world. So we see here, now the second word, set, look there, so seek, that's other words, don't you just live in the physical world. Don't just live in a fallen world, but seek the spiritual world. Then he says, set your affections on things above, not on this earth. Set your affections. Where is your affections tonight? Do you love God? Love your Bible? Do you love Him tonight? I think we have to just ask ourselves a time. God, Lord, do I really love you? Now, Jesus, God so loved the world, he what? Okay, now that was a word of action. If we set our affections, then there has to be some actions. You have to, excuse me, I say this reverently, but God's like the people from Missouri. That's the prove me state, the show me state. If you tell God you love Him, but there's do nothing to show that love, God doesn't believe that. And you don't either. So you need to recognize that. Set your affections, again, verse 2, so seek and set all things about, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. Now, I don't have a here. I want you to just read with me verse 3, 4, and 5. Verse 3, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Wherefore, Christ also is our life. Now, look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, would you just for a moment remove who is out of the text? You're allowed to do that because it's in what? It's in italics. If it's in italics, it's not in the original, so it's okay. If you remove that, who Christ, what? Our life. I was thinking of an illustration. I'm going to go back to that in a moment, but I want you to turn to the book of Luke, and I want you to turn there to the 8th chapter for just a moment, because I want to illustrate that. I want to illustrate that truth there that he's trying to tell us here. Christ, our life. Look here in verse 22, 23, 24 of verse of chapter 8 of the book of Luke. Now it came to pass, verse 22, on a certain day that he went in with the ship with his disciples, and he said to them, let us go over on the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're about to die. Now here's the tragedy. They weren't about to die because their life was in the boat. His name is Jesus. You see, folks, life is, for a Christian, is not longevity of how long, it's who he is. They would say, we're going to die, we're going to perish. Oh no, no, you see, your life is in the back of the boat. He's going to wake up and he's going to steal the storm. I got thinking about this great passage. This is one of the greatest passages to prove the deity of Jesus Christ. Because in this, he's asleep. That's his humanity. He was the God-man. We call that the hypostatic union, where God and man came together, one person with two natures. Here he is. He was asleep. Why was he asleep? Because he was tired. On the way home tonight, Marilyn had slept some part of the way there when we got home this morning. And she always looks to make sure I'm wide awake. She'll say, "Are you awake? Are you awake?" "Yeah, I'm awake." "Go back to sleep." But he was awake. He was asleep because that was his humanity. He was tired. But notice this. You have his deity. Because when he woke up, he what? He rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Can I say this to you? Because he is your life, he will calm you. In a fallen world, in a physical world, hallelujah for the Father's world, where the Son will calm us. He will calm us. Now go back to our text here. We're going to get back to Ephesians eventually, but go back to Colossians first. So we see we are to seek, we are to set, and then verse 4, when Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And where are we going to go? We're going to go to that world we've been talking about. But look at verse 5. Mortify. That's where we get the word mortuary. The word mortify means to slay. So you have here, seek, set, now slay. Kill. Kill. Who you're to kill? Your flesh. Look there in verse 5. Mortify therefore your members. Now he's referring to your being, which are upon earth. And he lists fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. You know, you heard me say this before, I believe. Have you had a funeral lately? Your own? Where you die? I have to die regularly. The old flesh gets resurrected. How do I know it gets resurrected? When I get angry, it gets resurrected. When I get jealous, it gets resurrected. When I have evil thoughts, it's resurrected. And I have to just kill it right there. Slay it. And I have the power to slay it through Jesus Christ. So we see here, what do we mean by the heavenlies? What do we mean? We mean simply we seek, we set, but we must slay ourselves. Because our flesh, our fallen world, the physical world, has no desire to be in the Father's world. Doesn't want it. You ever realize that? You ever have somebody tell you, "Well, you know, church is boring." Was to me before I got saved. When if I'm not right with the Lord, church is very boring. I have no interest in it. And we have to be sure that our children understand that principle. They need to slay. They need to kill the flesh. Now go back with that thought in mind to the book of Ephesians. So we see here that verse 3 to me is a very key verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings where in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies. Now with that in mind, go back to verse 1 and go in verse 2. Now, I'm not through here in verse 3. I apologize. Go back to No, I'll pick that up in a minute. I'll go back. Go back to verse 1. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now in verse 3, we talked about blessings. Aren't you glad you have the blessings of God? Now, he first of all, he talks about the people who are blessed. Who are the people that are blessed? Saints. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I can read in the book of Ephesians, saints, and I appreciate it. I go to 1 Corinthians, he talks about saints there. Hardly any of them live life where they're saints. This word saint here is a what we call a positional word. That is, we're in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to go back to that word. Matter of fact, go back to verse 3. I apologize. Who had blessed us with all spiritual blessing. And then I want you to notice the biggest little word you find in your Bible. It's the word in, I-N. Notice why we are blessed. Because we're what? In Christ. In Christ. That's a positional word. We are in Him. Thank the Lord, we are in Him. That word in is mentioned 27 times just in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. 27 times. That's easy to remember. How many books are there in the New Testament? 27. 27 times. So here we find, the people who have spiritual blessings and can enjoy the Father's world. Now, what is a saint? I want to give you S-A-I-N-T and tell you what a saint is. I think I've done this before, but I'm going to remind you again. A saint, I'm saved. What a saint is. My mama had a hard time understanding that concept when I told her that I was a saint. My mama knew me. My mama had used the Feld's naphtha soap on my mouth, the switch on my bottom, more than once. Don't you look at me, Larry. You're not as indeed. I can imagine when you were a rascal as a kid. Because of her Catholic religion beliefs, she thought saints were something that they got all the good stuff about him, and then they forgot all about the bad stuff and made somebody a saint. Well, there are no good things about me. There are no good things about you. We're found in Christ. So that's the S. A, you're alive. You're alive. Well, wait a minute. There are other people. Aren't they alive only physically? Not alive spiritually. We're alive spiritually. I'll never forget when I got saved, because I used to run around with some people. When I was a young man, I ran around with wrong people. How many of you did that before you got saved? I'm sure you did. Well, there were five of us. By the time I was 21, there were only two of us still alive. They all read, killed, shot, you name it. And then I had another friend, so trying to replace the ones that were dead. And we did a lot of things together that I wouldn't discuss up here, but I'll never forget the day that I sat down with him after I got saved. I only saved 2 weeks. And I told him what happened to you. You know what he said to me? He said, "Well, I've done that." I said, "Well, how come your life isn't different?" He didn't know what to say. When you're alive, you don't walk around like dead people. You have the life of Christ. And we need to act like we have the life of Christ. Then there's that word, letter N. We're in Christ. I've already discussed that. It's the biggest little word. That's what a saint is. He's not only saved, he's not only alive, but he's in Christ. In is a new creation. New creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Notice a new creation. Old things pass away. We're living in a world where people would like to have Christ, but they don't want to make any changes. Can I say this reverently? You ain't going to get him. You aren't willing to make it, because he's going to change you. I have more people. I have one to Christ who have said, "Well, I don't know about getting saved. I may have to give up my drinking. I may have to give up my smoking. I may have to give, and then list other things. You don't have to give anything up. The Lord will do it for you. He'll do it for you. He'll take the desire away. So you're saved, you're alive, you're in Christ, you're a new creature, and you're a testimony of God's grace. You're a testimony of God's grace. It's wonderful to be a testimony, not of God's grace, what God can do. I couldn't figure out, when I got 20 years of age, why I was not one of the five that was dead. There was only two of us, Grand Oliver and myself. The other three were dead. One got killed in an automobile crash. One hung himself. The other was trying to steal gas out of a big tanker and blew him up. Only Grand Oliver and I made it out to 21 years of age. But it was that was when I got saved, or 20. I got saved at 20. And I really know why. God, He knew I was going to get saved. Hallelujah! We're going to talk about, it's called predestination. You know what predestination is? Marking out beforehand, knowing that you're going to receive Christ, so God arranges everything for that to happen. That's what predestination is all about. Don't be like the fellow who talked about everything is all set. He fell down a flight of stairs. He got up. He said, "Man, I'm glad that's over with my life. Won't have that to do that again." No, that's not predestination, but we'll talk about it later. So we see that. So we realize here the people that are the blessings are blessed. Then he deals here with the place of blessings. I've already discussed that. That's in heavenly places. That's in there. That's enjoying our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is not only the people, the place, but there is the product of spiritual blessings. There are two words there found in verse 2. Would you note them? Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Now, would you underline those words in your thought here this evening? Grace. Now, grace is vertical. Now, watch what I'm going to do. It comes down from heaven, right? Isn't grace come down from heaven? Sure. Peace is horizontal. I've just formed a cross. Because of Calvary's cross, we have grace. We have peace. Now, somebody has defined grace as God's riches at Christ's expense. I think that's a good definition. God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid the price for grace. I'm thankful for His grace. Man is only saved by grace. But guess what? When you get saved, then you're saved to work. You're not saved by works, you're saved to work. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he said, but we are created in Christ Jesus, what? And do what? Good works. And do good works. Now that peace, there are three kinds of peace. First one is permanent. Peace with God. Romans 5:1. That's eternal. You'll never lose that. You'll never lose that. I don't know where you are on this, but a few times in my ministry I have had to deal with homes where somebody committed suicide. I've had that in my own life, my own home. But I'm talking about Christian homes. And they will say to me, is that person who said he was saved and now he's committed suicide, is he in heaven? If he got saved, he was. He is. Did you say amen to that? That's true. I mean, he got off the track. And I'll never forget a lady in Charleston. One of the sweetest Christians in her days. And I remember after I had retired for a few months and I got busy again, I was in California when I got a phone call. This dear lady, beautiful lady, one of the most faithful members, her and her husband church, and she had two grandchildren that her daughter had out of wedlock. And she loved those children. And depression got a hold of her. Are you listening to me? Look out. Depression can get a hold of you. And she said, and the father of those two children, one of those children in his possession, and she said, he can't have them. He'll raise them wrongly. You know what she did? She killed both those little babies and killed herself. That's a tragedy. I can't explain that. I can't understand that. But I believe she could still be in heaven. You may not believe it, but I believe the Bible teaches that she could still be in heaven. She got saved. But depression. And when we get into the holidays, if I'm still here, I'm going to talk a little bit about depression. Because a lot of Christians do a lot of sins in their mind through depression is equally as bad as someone taking their physical life. And I'm glad for the peace we have with God. That's eternal. When you accept Christ, it's eternal peace. Then there's a peace of God in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Peace of God that what? Passes all understanding. I like that verse there in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. That's internal. That's internal peace. How in the world, I ask this question all the time. How can people who do not know Christ, how are they handling society and problems in which we're living in today? There's no way they could have internal peace. I mean, everything is haywire. Everything is out of order. But the Christian, through it all, can have that internal peace that passes all understanding. You can't explain it. And then there's the God of peace in Philippians 4 as well. That's external. That which is internal shows up on the outside. I don't mean you have to put on a false face that I'm happy no matter what. The peace of God on internal will show up on the external. God want to do something for you. I hope you believe that tonight. So we see here the place of spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, the people who get spiritual blessings, the saints, the product of spiritual blessing. But what does God give you? Grace, and He gives you peace. Now go back here to chapter 1. We're going to move on tonight just for a few minutes, another part of it. Now, he's going to get in some heavy stuff here. And my book isn't heavy. I don't think it is in this book. Notice there in chapter 1, verse 4, because after he deals with that subject, and I just want to mention it tonight, maybe go a little more deep next time. According, he has chosen us where? Now that is the biggest little word you're going to find in the Bible. Remember he tell you that? Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Nowhere in my Bible do I ever find that God ever predestinated anybody to hell. Zero. I hope you believe that tonight. No, He didn't. Predestination has to do with people. And God, for example, knew that John Stevens would accept him. See, with God, there's no time. It's all just one. It's all. there is no time in God's calendar, no time anywhere in God's clock. That's hard for us to understand. We run everything by time, unless you go to Ponape. What do I mean by that? Service starts 11? Well, maybe, but it may start 11:35. Are they lazy? No, they just don't get ulcers. They're laid-back people, where our kids are missionaries. That's the way for many of the mission fields. They come over here, and I was talking on the phone to Nancy Delagana, who's been on the mission field for over 40-something years. She says, I can't wait to get back to Bangladesh. She's a missionary nurse. She said, America is in trouble. Is in trouble. But what has that got to do with the fact we still can have peace? Why? Because God has predestined. He has made it possible for you to get saved. How many of us were not raised in a Christian home? Raise your hand. Several. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you got saved but not all. That's not everybody. So God had to work out the events. He predestined. He made sure that day when I got a phone call from the lady, she said, and I was depressed. I had no purpose in life, no goals in life. She called me. She said, would you go to a revival meeting tonight? I said, what's that? She says, it's a church meeting. I thought, well, she's done a lot for me. I'll just go along with her. And when I went to that revival meeting, it was the most disturbing experience up to that time of my life. An evangelist preached. You would have thought that she had told him, spent an hour to 2 hours with him, telling him everything she could about me. That wasn't true, of course. That was the Holy Spirit. And I will forget when I raised my hand, I need to be saved. And she jerked my hand and said, oh, Johnny, you know you got saved. I wasn't saved. But 3 weeks later, God in his predestination allowed me to be alone at 481 Worley Avenue that night, morning, hot July day, when I called on Christ to save me. Boy, what a load off of my soul. Now, every one of you listening in or sitting here tonight should be able to go back in time. See, we deal with time. God doesn't. When you got saved, where you got saved, and what you did to get saved. I am bothered by many churches that when somebody comes forward, they just say, welcome this person here, we just pray for him. No, he wants to get saved. I want you to know that predestination is such an important one. It means God works out everything so that it will work out right. And everything in my life and in your life, God is working out correctly. Well, I'm going to deal with more of that next time. Father, thank you for the word. Speak to our hearts, Father.